All right. Again, thank you for being here. We have a wonderful, wonderful day. And mothers, I hope that you've had a great day today, and you still have about 6.5 hours left. So I encourage you to take advantage of that. I love the music. We have such great music here, our young people, but our children can sing. I look at all these different children's groups, and I'm like, man, we got all these young singers coming up, and I'm ready for it. I will say the last group here was my grandchildren. They sang in the Filipino class this morning, the best class in the church, by the way. And now I will say this, Asher doesn't even talk. Say, why was he up there? He was eye candy, okay? He was just up there having a good time. He had no clue what was going on, but I appreciate the children. I want to share a very simple thought with you tonight. I will not take long, but I do want to share something I think is important to us. Mankind, we are just a worshiping people. We've got to have something that we look to and that we worship. If we believe in Jesus, we know that believing in a false god or having an idol is wrong. And by the way, the God tells us that there is a curse that comes with that. In Deuteronomy chapter number 7, in verse 25, it says, "The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God." Abomination means to hate intensely. "Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it." Both words that mean hatred. "For it is a cursed thing." Look at how God says we're supposed to deal with idols. They are to be burned, to be destroyed. They are not, their monetary value is to have no part in it, right? If they were in their days when they would cleanse the other nations, if they saw an idol and there was gold or whatever, they're not supposed to have an affinity for that. Get rid of it. It's cursed. God hates them. It should not even be in their house, and it brings a curse. Now, our church, if you know the history of our church, it started as a Cambodian church. And some of the people in the early days, we would go out into the area and they worshiped Buddha, or they had a Buddha in their house. By the way, that is an idol, okay? And so sometimes they would get saved and it's like, what do I do with these Buddhas? And it was very easy for us to tell them what to do. You take them, you destroy them, and you throw them away. You don't sell them, you don't give them away. They're a cursed thing. Why would you want to do that? You destroy them. Remember, years ago in the early days of the church, I had a singles activity like we have Friday night. I hope you all be here. And we took them down to Mexico. And we were in the old church van. I was surprised it made it there and back, to be honest with you. That van was, like, not good. I think it was a Ford, to be honest with you. And so we went down there, and somebody brought a friend with them. That was not, he didn't go to our church. I don't believe he was a Christian at that time. And so we went down there with him. We knew that he wasn't with our group because halfway there, I smelled something in the van, and he was smoking in the van. And it's like, someone's like, how do you deal with that? And how many of you remember Pastor's brother-in-law, Trent? Okay, just that word, you know what he's like. And so Trent's like, "I got this." And he looked over to the guy, he goes, "Hey man, can I get a hit?" And the guy goes, okay. And Trent took it and goes, threw it out the window, okay? Said, "Hey, let's not smoke in the van, okay?" And the guy goes, okay. But while we were down in Mexico, we crossed the border back, a lot easier like it is today, and we crossed the border back, and we're getting ready to leave, and this guy had bought a Buddha. So we're all thinking, you know, okay, hey, look, we can't have a Buddha in the car. We believe the Bible, right? And so it's like, how do you handle this? And Trent says, "I have this." He goes, "Just give me a couple dollars." So he goes up to the guy, goes, "How much did you pay for that thing?" The guy goes, $5. And Trent goes, "I want it. I'll give you $10 for it." The guy goes, okay. And he took $10. He gave us the Buddha. Trent took it outside and he destroyed it and threw it in the garbage can. The guy's looking at us like, "What are you guys doing?" But hey, I made 50% profit, so it's all good. I think he explained to him our belief system there. We weren't being mean. But the reason we would do that is because we do literally believe the Bible. We don't think we should be worshiping idols. and we don't think we should have them. And I'm not getting on people, but as a person, if they trust in the Lord and they understand these things, it's like, hey, I got to get that out of my house. And we try to teach them that the right thing to do is to reject that false god and receive the true God. And so that's very important. And tonight I want us to take a look at false gods and idols for a few minutes, and then I want to specifically say one thing about it, and then we'll be done here. In Exodus chapter 20, if you know your Bible, this is the chapter with the Ten Commandments. And the first two are the ones we read. They're closely tied. God said, thou shalt have no other god before me. And then we're told that we should not make a graven image, or what we would call an idol. Those two are very closely related to each other. We see that God hates false idols, false gods. And when I say a false god, that's a small g, not a big g. God hates those. He does not want us to replace him. An idol, really, we are more sophisticated. None of us would actually worship an idol, but an idol is anything that we place in front of God. It's more important than God. Now, we would never say it's an idol in our life, but we would never worship it. But in reality, the way we treat it and the relation we put to it, to our God, it really is an idol in our life. And I'll explain it as we go on. There are many different ways people worship. When it comes to God, there's many options. We have atheism. Atheism means ah, which is means no, no God. And then there's polytheism. Polytheism, it means there are many gods. There is not just one. And then the New Age people would believe in what we would call pantheism. Everything is God. You see God in the trees. You see God in the wind. And there, God is a part of you. There's a God spirit. We call that nonsense. And then there is monotheism. There is one God. And that is what the Bible teaches, and that is what we believe. But people have false gods in their life. And even Christians, in a sense, if we're not careful, we can have false gods in our life. And so we need to be very careful. Many people openly worship all kinds of things. And I think I mentioned this a while ago, but the different plagues that God brought upon Egypt, every single one of those plagues was against some type of god that they worshiped, because they worshiped all kinds of things. We talked about Buddha. Some people worship their ancestors. You know, reincarnation. People think a cow is a relative. Mormonism. Do you know Mormonism has a false god? They believe that the god of our planet was once a man who achieved godhood. And they believe if we follow Mormonism, one day we can become a god like Elohim, and we can have our own planet and be a god over our planet. I always say, if that were true and I became a god, you would not want to live on my planet. It would not be very good for you, okay? The first time somebody said something bad about God, they'd be ashes. So that's why it's good that God's God and we are not God. But we need to be very careful. Anything that is not true worship or God can become or is idolatry, even if it's not a statue. As I have mentioned, we know that an idol is anything that we put before God or a false god. An idol or a false god is anything that takes the place of God in our life. Idolatry can become an all-encompassing sin. I won't read it. I was going to have us read it, but to save time. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 to verse 12, it talks about, you know, if you think you standeth, take heed lest you fall. And then the verse on temptation. And then verse 14 says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, he's talking, wherefore, harkens back to what's going on in that chapter. You think he wasn't really necessarily talking about chapters. No, about idols. But he's talking about things that relate to our selfishness and thinking inwardly. And that really is an idol as well. You say, Pastor, what are some of the false idols of our times? Sports, right? Everything ends on Sunday. People, look, I know people in our church, and I you know, the football season comes. If their team is playing at 10 o'clock, they're not going to be here. I hope their team loses. Unless it's the Rams, then I hope God's gracious to them, okay? But we our children, we put them in these sports leagues in the parks or whatever, and their games are going to be on Sunday. You're going to have to make a decision. Well, I'll just let them play sports. Hey, then what we're doing is putting sports ahead of God. By the way, that's why we don't cancel Sunday night service for the Super Bowl. Why? Well, I don't want our church to get the idea Sunday night church is important except when the Super Bowl comes around. okay? It's really the Super Bowl, and I'm not against the Super Bowl, and I'm not against football, but it's become nothing more than a pagan holiday. Entertainment becomes our God. Our, those that are involved in entertainment, they are now social influencers. Most of them don't have the IQ of a brick. Politics, you know, people vote. A lot of people will vote, and I'm not telling you how to vote. This isn't a political thing, but they'll choose who they're voting for based on abortion. Well, you got to be for abortion. That's their God. Okay, that's not going over very well. Thanks. The gender identity nonsense. Feminism. Okay, well, you know, we're not equal. Yeah, we are equal, but we're different. If you can't tell the difference between a guy and a girl, there's something wrong with you. And I will say this, it's Mother's Day. You know who's good at being, by the way, it's not birthing person's day. What's that nonsense? I don't want to be a mother. I like being a father. My wife is great at being a mother. Say, that's degrading. No, it's not. Trust me on that. You know, it's like, well, these ladies that are just mothers, they're nothing. Really? Come on now. That look at that. I would go crazy. God bless you, mothers. You are everything. This is your. In fact, we should give you a whole week. But we're not, so you get today. You know, people can become an idol. Now, we wouldn't worship them, but we let them influence our life. We let them decide what we're going to be and what we're going to do. Self, that's a big one, right? My decisions, my desires, what I want. By the way, that's why this another false doctrine that teaching that's out there is this prosperity doctrine. You know, God wants you to be healthy and rich. Do you know that only works in America? But you know why we like it? Because it's a selfish doctrine. Well, if I'm a Christian, I buy into this, I'll be rich. You know, the only ones that are rich are the ones that are preaching it. They want you to plant their faith seed in their garden, but they're not planting their faith seed in anybody's garden. But that's really worship of self. If we're not careful, education can become an idol. I'm not against education, but education is only good as what you're learning. And so we do that. And I'm sorry that on our college campuses, they're becoming nothing more, unfortunately, than indoctrination centers. So what's the point? The point is a false god, idols, anything that dominates our lives, gets our energy, effort, and resources. And in the few minutes we have, I want to give you a few facts about this, about idols and false gods, and then I want to make an application if you'll let me, and I'll go through this quickly. First of all, I want us to see some facts about idols. As I mentioned before, one of the facts about idol is that it is a god. It is a god. It's a little g god. You say, how can it be a god? It doesn't create anything. It doesn't do anything. It's the god of our lives. It's not about what goes on here or there. It's about what it does in our lives. It's about how we allow it to influence our lives. It's about how we build our lives around it. So it becomes a little g god. Exodus 34, 13 says, for thou shalt worship no other god. That's a little g in the Bible. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. He's not a jealous God in a non-trusting way. He's jealous because he doesn't want your affection to go to anything or anybody else other than him. And I think he deserves it, by the way. Another fact about false god or idols is they're not real. We believe they can deliver something in our lives, but they can't. We sit our lives and we set up our lives and we're not careful. We bring all these things into them and we give them this place of prominence in our life and they have no dealing in reality whatsoever. We make it something important that's not important. And it has nothing to do. You look at these kids on our college campuses protesting. They don't even know what they're protesting about. They've never held a job. They have zero responsibility. They know nothing. The things that they say they're attaching their lives to has no reality. It doesn't do anything for their lives. They don't even know how to live their lives. It's nothing more. God calls it an image. A graven image. What's a graven image? A false representation of something that should be real. God doesn't want that. By the way, let me say this. You know, I don't even like pictures of Jesus. Jesus is not some long-haired, effeminate-looking guy in a dress. He's not. By the way, can I just throw this out here? Is it okay, Joseph? Don't be watching this Chosen nonsense. See, we want to watch all this garbage on television. It's not even about the Bible. Okay, this didn't go over very well. You must like that thing. Do you know it's run by Mormons who believe that you can become a god and their goal is to become a god? I'll tell you who God is, Jesus. Amen. The very Jesus that they are inaccurately portraying. And by the way, they are gay affirming. I don't know where to go with that. Maybe that's why we shouldn't put that self on screen. That went over very well. Let me just make down. Don't talk about that again. Okay, good. I'm kidding. It's a likeness. Notice, it's the likeness of things. What are the things? The things of this earth. By the way, Romans talks about that, how one day we'll worship the creation. That sounds silly, right? I mean, they did used to worship the sun god, Ra. Or I think Ra was the sun god. And you say, that's silly. We don't worship Ra anymore. I know. We do worship this earth. Oh, what about climate change? I don't know. We've had a lot of rain this year. I hate to say when I was younger, right? Because it's like back in the dark age, you know, we used to ride dinosaurs to school. But back when I was younger, you know what they talked about all the time? We are in a new ice age. How many of you remember that? Late 70s, all this stuff. Do you know it's like this? But now it's become a political, and we're going to worship the earth. And I'm not saying we should trash the earth. I'm glad we have less pollution than when I was growing up. And I can tell you that for a fact. But we've made it a god. I remember David Gibbs, the lawyer, was on an airplane. I haven't told this in a long, long time. He was on the airplane, and he was flying somewhere, and a lady was there, and she was holding this paper thing, and she wanted to talk to him. He goes, man, I was tired. I didn't want to talk. And so she kept talking, trying to get his attention. He goes, you know, I'm going to talk to her. And she goes, you know what's in this tube? And he goes, what? She goes, my life is in this tube, the thing I live for. And he goes, wow, what is it? And she pulled it out. It was a picture of a whale. She goes, I'm going to the San Francisco Convention of Save the Whales. She goes, really? She goes, that's my passion in life. And he said, I don't even know where this comes from. He just asked, she goes, have you ever actually done that? And she goes, done what? She goes, have you actually ever saved a whale? And she goes, not that I know of. Her whole life. This is a funny one. I love animals, okay? Especially those who can eat, but I love animals. And there was this seal, and it got caught in some oil, and they did the right thing. They cleaned it up and spent like $20,000 to clean it up. And unfortunately, when they released it, they all got on a boat and released it, and they were all clapping, and like 30 seconds later, an orca ate it. I mean, that's just life sometimes. And I'm not against taking care of our I'm not against recycling any of that stuff, but what has happened is we take all these weird things and we give them a place of prominence they should not have. That's when it becomes a problem, right? And so you can take anything. I just happen to be going on that, but you get it, what I'm saying. Number two, let's look at feelings about idols. How do we treat idols? We worship them. Do you know what the word worship means? It means to ascribe worth to. That's what that means. When we worship God, we're saying, God, I'm ascribing worth to you. You are worthy of me worshiping you and giving my life and singing. I'm doing all those things. By the way, music is not worship. Oh, I love the worst, not singing. Now, singing can lead us to worship God if it gets us to think about God and how wonderful he is, right? But you don't need music to worship God. We think about how wonderful he is, and he is valuable. We give him worth in my life. That's what worship is. Worship isn't just when you're at church. If you really want to know if you're worshiping God, how do you live in your relationship with God outside of church? That's really where the rubber hits the road, right? And that's where we want to get to in our lives. When we think about idols, we serve them. We give it our time and our energy. And God also tells us that they will be punished. If we attach our lives to something and we give it a place of prominence in our life that it should not have. I mean, there's things we do that aren't wrong. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we give it so much attention in our life, something that's not wrong can become wrong. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so if we're not careful with that, and what it does, it causes a curse in our life, or it causes in our life things that should not come. And we need to be very careful, because if we're parents, and it is Mother's Day, also fathers, it's passed on. Talking about it, it says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You see, So a sad fact of life is sometimes, and biblically, it's passed down to the children. The children sometimes take the shrapnel for the parents. Now, I will say this. If you grew up in a family, I grew up in a family that was not a Christian family. And if you grew up in a family that maybe wasn't God-worshiping, maybe wasn't God-honoring, you know what you should do? Break the curse. God can help you break that curse. And your children don't have to go through those things. And so that's that. So number three, let's see the fallacy of idols. Here's the fallacy. The fallacy of idols in what we think it will provide in our life. Okay, this is why we give things in a place of prominence or priority in our life that really don't deserve it because they can't produce these things. First of all, we think about joy, right? In fact, of the matter is most people are looking for that. And by the way, nothing wrong with that. That's what Philippians tells us to have, right? It says, hey, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It talks about being joyful. Of course, if we don't attach that to the Lord, it's not going to happen. And so we look at these things and we think, you know what? This is going to bring me what I need in life. But joy only comes through God. See, you get some false idol or some false thing that has the preeminence in your life, and then you go through a problem and you realize, hey, this just isn't that important. This isn't going to get me through what I'm going through. But when you attach it to your relationship with God, you can have joy even in the midst of trials. That's why Paul in prison can tell us to have joy. Because it wasn't attached to where he was, it was attached to who he was giving his life to. We think that it gives us fulfillment. You know, all of us want meaning in our life, do we not? We're looking for, I guess we would call it, significance. We want to have a purpose in life. And we want our lives in some small way to matter. Well, if you're going to have significance and purpose and your lives are going to matter, you need to attach it to something that has that type of value. You got to attach it to something that is going to matter for eternity, and that's your relationship with God. We also want security. We live in this chaotic world, right? And we look around and like, man, how are we going to get through this? How can I just make it? What is happening next? And blah, blah. Attach yourself to God. That's where we attach it to this false God. It's not going to happen. We think we get freedom from the wrong kind of worship. By the way, it's amazing how we will allow sometimes something that is not real to take prominence in our life, thinking it gives us freedom, when in reality, what we want is the freedom to do what we want to do. And in that sense, now you still have an idol. You know who the idol is? Us. Right? All of us, if I said, is there a time in your life when you took over? Every single one of us would raise our hand. And you know what? At that point in our life, we became an idol. And things probably didn't turn out well in that instance. That's a real stickling point. The reason we look to these things, we also want true, meaningful relationships. Relationship, look, we talk about, we could call it friendship if you like, right? But the Bible word is fellowship. Fellowship is deeper than friendship. Friendship is based on, you know, hey, you know, we like the same things, we like to do the same things, whatever. Fellowship is deeper. It's fellowship is based on shared values, shared purpose. Shared goals. And when we're Christians that love God, we're going to naturally have those same things, right? And so we can have those deeper relationships than anything else can give us. And then I want us to see briefly the failure of idols, the failure. Where is the failure of idols? The failure of idols comes in what they deliver. It will deliver the complete opposite of everything it promises. I want you to turn over here. To 2 Chronicles. I want to read a couple of verses and I want you to see this. 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. This is talking about King Ahaz. And we'll look at verse number 22. So what he did is, look at verse 20. And in the time of his distress, did he trespass yet more? He was already starting against the Lord. That is this King Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, the false gods, which smote him. By the way, it was the gods of the nation that defeated them. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore I'll sacrifice. He goes, man, God didn't help me in this battle, so I'm going to sacrifice to their gods that they may help me. But look what it says there. But they were the ruin of him. See, the very thing he thought, he goes, okay, I lost this battle. God didn't help me. It wasn't that God didn't help him. It's that he was being disobedient to God. And he didn't get that right. So he's like, fine, I'll sacrifice to their idols and I'll bring them in. And the very thing he brought in was the beginning of his destruction. It didn't bring in what he thought it did. And that's what happens when you have a false idol. You think it'll bring joy, but to be honest with you, it'll bring more sorrow. You think it'll be fulfillment, but the fact of the matter is, you're going to be more empty. You think it'll bring security, but the fact is, it's going to bring instability. You think it's going to bring freedom, but you know what it does? It brings bondage. In fact, if you're not careful, the bondage is so strong that even when you realize it's wrong, you're going to have a hard time getting away from it because it has become so dominant in your life. Now, all of that to say this, I want us for just a couple minutes to see, lastly, the fiercest idol. Now, you can apply that to all the things I talked about in your life, but here's the real crux of it. It's a very long introduction, 10 minutes, we're done. You know what the fiercest idol is? It's not one of the common ones. It has nothing to do with self. It has nothing to do with sin. It has nothing to do with false doctrine. It's not one of the modern ones, sports, entertainment, pleasure, social media, you name it. And it's worshiped by a lot of God's people. I'll read the verses to you. You can write them down and look at them later. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, money. Luke chapter 16 and verse 13 says the same thing. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know what the fiercest false god we and by the way, all the other ones are gods too. Don't get me wrong. We struggle with those. But the fiercest one, I think, it's money and possessions. And you know why this one is so predominant and so hard? Because all of us have to deal with those things. We're forced to. I could say sports can become a god, and some of you are like, I could care less about sports, right? I could say politics can become a god, and you're like, I really don't care about politics. I could just go down the line. But this one, all of us have to deal with on a regular basis. And if we have the wrong non-biblical view of it, it can really mess us up. We have to be very careful. 1 Timothy says this, verse 9 and 10. You know these verses. But they that will be rich, it doesn't mean they are rich. By the way, there's nothing wrong with having money if you have the proper stewardship and you have the proper mentality about it. But this is talking about somebody whose desire is to be rich. Their goal is to be rich. It's all encompassing and it takes over their life. It says, they that will be rich fall in temptation and a snare. Say, how does that fall into temptation? Maybe the people you run around with. Maybe the temptation to be deceitful, to get ahead. And a snare. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drowned men in destruction and perdition. And then here's the most misquoted verse in the Bible. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Oh, the love of money is the root of all evil. I mean, money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. Tell that when you have to pay your bills. Hey, you owe this. Nope, I'm not paying. Money's the root of evil. No, it's the love of money. It's our attitude towards it. We don't understand what it is. And by the way, when Jesus said very specifically, you can't serve two masters, you can't have two false gods, you can't have two gods, right? He applied it to one thing. What was it? He applied it to possessions and money because it's inherent in us. It's just kind of there in our sinful nature to let that take prominence in our lives. It can't be, we're only going to serve one. We're only going to love one. We're only going to truly value one. How do we do this? We worship money in its priority. We give it too much. And again, let me just tell you something. You need to have money and you need to work. And I always say, if you're working somewhere and they're going to promote somebody and they're going to give them a raise, it ought to be Christians. Work hard. Be a good testimony. Do what you can. By the way, you know how it is. People nowadays don't know how to work. And boy, you show up on time and you do your job and you have a good spirit. You know what? Bosses like that. Amen. And they're going to say, that's the kind of person I want on my team. Amen. And so work it. But don't give it too much priority in your life. It's everything. We serve it too much with our energy. We put so much time in accumulating it at the expense of the things we should be doing, right? Here's the guy that's working this job. He's working this thing. He's trying to climb the ladder of success, and he's spending so much time and so much effort at that that he's got a wife and children over here that want him at home. And again, you can go over all kinds of things. Yes, work hard, be successful in all those things, but let's make sure not at the expense of the things that are truly important in our life. We think it's where joy can be found, right? You can't buy happiness. You can't even rent it, to be honest with you. We think if we had all the money in the world, we'd be happy. Then how come some of the richest people in the world are the unhappiest? Because they bought that lie, right? This is it. If I get everything I want, I'm going to be happy. I'll have joy. And they get it. They look around and say, what's going on? I think it was Ted Turner many, many, many years ago. I think after his first marriage disintegrated, he said, I would give every penny I had if I could have made my first marriage work. Seems to me like he understood the value of it a little bit too late. That's where joy is found. It's not found. We think the more of it we have, the more fulfilled we will be. Here's a verse in Ecclesiastes. And by the way, if anybody knew about money, with Solomon. Okay, Solomon had it in boatloads. Ecclesiastes 5:11, he goes, when goods increase, they are increased that will eat them. Okay, come on. So you have a budget, right? And you're making this much money and you're barely making ends meet. If you got a job paying you double the money, you know what's going to happen? Almost every time your budget is going to double. This is how it is. And more things come up. By the way, when I think of this verse, I think of the IRS, right? Okay, they're there to take out their portion too. We place our security in it. By the way, we are supposed to place our security in God. Nothing. That's why God, that's one of the reasons God said money is a competing God. Because we treat money and give value to money in the same way we're supposed to give that to God. God's supposed to be the source of our security. Give us this day our daily bread. Say, Pastor, I'm making plenty of money to buy food, but we ought to realize who's the one that gives us the energy to do that, who's the one that's given us the job to do that, and say, God, even though you've given me a job to work, I know ultimately it comes from you. That's the right spirit to have. By the way, what does money say? In God we trust. You know, the answer to the problem is on the problem. Okay, that went over your head. Tonight when you're laying in bed, it's going to like, boom, got it. All right. We feel that it gives us freedom. I can do whatever I want. Listen, if you do whatever you want, you still won't be happy. It will make my relationships better, okay? Courts are filled with that. You know, someone dies in a family and they leave money behind. Here we go. Okay, that didn't go over very well. That's just how we are. Remember the old song? Money can't buy you love. You know, okay. Anyhow, we still try. It doesn't work. These are all fallacies. How do Christians worship it? Well, we do all of these different things, and then what happens, and this isn't a message on giving. We understand giving. We understand tithing. But the problem is when money becomes our God, we won't do any of those things. We won't give a penny to help anybody else, whether it's through giving in the church like we're supposed to or just being generous to somebody. When's the last time you ever did anything for somebody? Like I go through, every Saturday, I go through our finances with a fine-tooth comb. And I use QuickBooks and I got it down. I can tell you to the penny where everything in our finances are. And I go through everything that was spent. And I have to itemize it for our home business or whatever, but I keep all the records. Sometimes there's money there, and I'll ask, and this happens. This will happen several times a year, and I'll ask my wife, hey, what was that? You had this money you took out. What was that for? And she'll say, oh. Now, I shouldn't say this because you're going to go talk to her, but don't. She'll say, oh, so-and-so had a need, and so I just got that for them. Now, if she spends too much on laundry detergent, we're going to have a talk. Just kidding. I'm like, okay, that doesn't bother me at all, at all. I'm glad she has that spirit. I'm glad she has a spirit where if she sees a need sometimes, she'll say, hey, can I help? And by the way, I know a lot of people in our church, you're like that too. That's how you can tell that money's not a God in your life. But by the way, if we do get it like that, and the church gets like that, it stifles the growth of a church, right? The reason we're in this building, the reason we can do the different ministries we have and all the different things through the years is through the giving of God's people. And you know, we just moved in here in 21. We started down here and this filled up on Sunday morning. And now the balcony is full on Sunday morning. And now we have all these classes that are going there. I get the numbers. And junior church is starting to bust its steams here. And all these different things, you know why we can do that? Because people give, right? You say, look, people come into church because they get tracts. Someone had to pay for those. I mean, we didn't say, hey, you want to come to my church? Here, let me get a napkin. This is what the church looks like. Okay, that's not going to work. Thank you for that. But when people don't give, it hinders the gospel. By the way, we help get the gospel out to this world through our missions. You know why? Because you give for missions. Every time on Thursday when we're showing that video, you ought to say, hey, I invested in that. It's done all kinds of things if we don't do it. Someone has said this. The good news is that the resources we need to do the work of God are in every church. The bad news is they're locked in the pockets and banks of God's people. Now, again, our church is the exception. And, I get it. And this isn't about the building, finishing up our building program or whatever. Although this may be part of it, it has to be done. And our people you've always given. And, all the different things. By the way, it's not even just for the building. And I hope you're praying. And to be honest with you, I hate to come again with this, but it's just something we got to do to finish up. We're finishing up the new building, and we can be content to say, man, I've been going through all the classrooms. We got everything to set them up and get them ready. And as soon as they give us the okay, I think there's just a few more wires or whatever to get the elevator started, and they give us okay, we're moving in. And we can get so comfortable, but there's more we need to do, and the building next door needs some care or it's going to start going downhill. And by the way, we're doing a lot of it's not nothing fancy. We already got a lot of things, but we got to get it done. I have more plans than you. I'm not even going to tell you all the plans because your head will spin. But you have done that. I think about, help me if I forget some, but we just helped pay for the youth conference over in Laos, in Thailand. Okay, we paid for the vast majority of that. Why? There's kids that can't afford it. They need to come on the mission field. We bought cows for Brother Tongdi years ago. I think that we bought 5, right? You say, what? How does that help missionaries? They give them to the nationals, and they use that to make money so they can do ministry. How many are they up to now? Who was it there? They have like 10 of them, and they're all starting to get fat. I'm like, multiply, okay? I told them, we'll buy the cows for you. You got to name them after the pastoral staff. Hey, there's Brother Ross. Brother Ross just gave birth. I'm like, okay, that's not how it works. But it's like Brother Luis, we bought his land for him. I think we paid for the whole thing. Who did we give the $20,000 to? Who was that for? The dorms, brother. That was Brother Tongdi. Man, Brother Tongdi's taking money from us left and right. And Brother Tongdi, we were having a missions conference and we're gonna take a special offering. And he said $20,000. I'm like, it'd be nice if the next 4 days we just raised that money and paid for their dorms. $20,000 for a building? Man, I wish we could do that here. That'd be great. You can't even get a bath. You can't even buy a restroom, one stall for $20,000. But you guys gave the money. And I can go on and on. The roof for the team in Cambodia. We invested in their building and on and on and on. You say, Pastor, why? I want us to have the proper thing. Let's make sure that we don't have any idols in our life, but let's particularly make sure that this one is not an idol in our life. Put it in its proper place. Have the right attitude about finances. And I understand it's tough in the times in which we live. And by the way, it's gotten tougher in the last 4 years. All right, you'll catch that in a little bit. Make sure you're faithful to your tithes and offerings. God blesses that, by the way. I'm just telling you, God blesses that. Look for opportunities to be generous over and above that. Be biblical stewards. Look at the money God gave you. Look at everything that God gave you and say, God, how do you want me to handle this? And look to the scripture to find it. By the way, if you struggle with finances, go to the Bible Institute finance class, right? You say, but Pastor, I can't afford the $10. That's why you need to go. If you can't afford the $10, go. We'll take care of it for you. But I think it'll be really good for us. Invest in the work of God. And you know that's what you're doing. And you've done it. When you invest in the work of God, it brings fruit. It brings fruit. And let's just be very, very careful. Let's not let some of these other things that come into our life be gods, but let's fight this one too. Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute if we may. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening. I went 5 minutes longer than I said I would. Sorry, I try not to lie when I say those things. False gods, we all fight them, but there's one that we fight the most, and that's money. You say, Pastor, I don't have that problem because I don't have a lot of money. You know, that's the time that we can get sucked into it the most. We look at the fact we don't have money and we got to get more, and if we're not careful, we'll corrupt our morals to get it. But maybe it's not money for you tonight. Is it something else? If you look at your life, say, Pastor, how can I tell what's a false god and a false idol in my life? Just ask a couple questions. What gets your time? What do you give your time to? Do you only come to church on Sundays or Thursday if there's nothing else more important for you to do? Then maybe there's an issue. Maybe you come to church regularly, but you don't come out with us on Saturdays. You won't even come just to grab a map on Saturday morning and go out for a half an hour and witness and pass out tracts, which, by the way, it works. We have people here every week because of it. What gets your time? What do you give your talent to? What do you use that for? God's given all of us talents and skills. Do you ever use it for God? By the way, again, I'm not complaining. We have a lot of people that do. These guys going through the bus driver's training. We have, you know, they help us clean all these different things. But maybe you need to hop in. And then what gets our treasures? Look at your, I know we don't use checkbooks anymore, but look online. What does your money go to? These things are going to tell you what your God is. And so, let's make sure that we don't let anything creep into our lives that would take the place of God, because it's a really bad trade. The piano is going to play. If God spoke to you tonight, why don't you come? Why don't you come? I don't think anybody has a false god. I don't think anybody's an idol worshiper, but sometimes we lessen the value of God by increasing the value of other things.